Would you join with me in prayer? Our Father in heaven, as we come to the chapel period this morning, we praise thy name for all the wondrous works of thy creation, for the beauty of nature, but more especially for the beauty of the recreated and redeemed life. And Father, we come this morning not only praising your name, but confessing our shortcomings and failures, confessing the sin of our hearts and our lips and our lives. We ask, Father, that you would touch us and cleanse us, and make us whole and complete and fit for service in your kingdom, and in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray that we would dedicate ourselves to you and you would make us useful instruments in your kingdom service. And Father, we would not forget to pray for others who have a special burden on their hearts, people within our personal families and within our church families, those who are suffering bereavement, those who are facing death, those who do not know Jesus Christ as Savior. And Father, our heart's prayer this morning is that you would reveal yourself to them in a new and a mighty way, and one whereby they might claim thee as Lord in their lives. Father, for this chapel service and for the preacher this morning, we pray, we ask that your Holy Spirit would dwell among us and he would lead us to new visions of Christ Jesus, our Lord, who loved us and who gave himself for us. Amen. The morning scripture reading is taken from the Old Testament, the book of Isaiah and the 6th chapter, beginning with the first verse, Isaiah 6:1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And above it stood the seraphim. Each one had six wings, and with two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he did fly. And one cried unto another, and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him who cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphim unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth, and he said, Lo, this hath touched thine lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. And also I heard the voice of the Lord, saying, Who shall I send, and who will go for us? And then said I, Here am I, send me, send me. And he said, Go and tell this people, Hear ye indeed, but understand not. And see ye indeed, but perceive not. The speaker this morning is Don Bedingfield, who is a native of Bunn, North Carolina. Don has served on the student council 2 years. He's a graduating senior in the certificate class, and we are glad that he has come to be the preacher for the morning hour after the choir leads us in worship and music. Don will come and bring the morning message.
Oh,
Just standing up here reminds me of a story of the horse falling in the well. Well, this farmer thought of everything to try to get the horse out of the well, to no avail. And so he turned and saw a pile of sand close by. And he said, well, I'll just leave him in there and cover him up. And so he began to shovel the sand into the well, one shovel full at a time. And when the well was full, the horse walked out. So I'll try not to give you a whole well full this morning, but just a shovel full, if we may. I am unworthy to stand before you this morning, more especially to deal with this passage of Scripture in Isaiah. For we see here Isaiah's great vision and also Isaiah's new commission. But for a moment, let us look at just a few of the words found here in this Scripture. I believe we can say that this is a call to revival. A call to revival. During this day, the springtime, we think of revival services, meetings, and I'm still excited about the services we had in the churches that I pastor this weekend. The Lord really blessed. But let us look at the little word woe. And we see here a word of confession. A word of confession. Preachers, teachers, I believe that you and I today need this word upon our lips. This word of confession. For there's a need. There's a call for unction in the pulpit. And when there's unction in the pulpit, there'll be action in the pew. Thank you, brother. That sounded good. I wish I could be where you are and you could be up here. You know, it's hotter up here than it usually is out there. So that sounded good. Now, we preachers need more neology along with the theology. Now, I was going to say, and less theology. But I don't think that Dr. Eddins would appreciate that. But we preachers need more time on our knees. We need more time in prayer. We need more time in communion with the Lord. I still contend that we do need theology. But we also need the neology, that we may have unction in the pulpit. Unction is not something that is learned. Unction is something that is earned on the knees. When a preacher fails to pray, or when a preacher is not praying, he's playing. When a church is not praying, it's straying. Let's look at one of our favorites.
Let us look at one of our favorites, D.L. Moody. Now, we hear so much about D.L. and the things that he accomplished. And I believe that he must have spent many hours on his knees praying. In fact, there's a story about D.L. walking down the street. And he had such a great urgency upon his soul to just fall on his knees and pray. And so as he passed the home of a friend, he ran in and said, "Do you have a room in which I can go and pray?" And the friend says, "Yes, upstairs." So D.L. went in the upper room with Jesus. And he spent an hour, came out full of the Holy Ghost and power to preach God's word all over the country. And souls were saved. D.L. Moody had unction. He didn't learn it. He earned it on his knees with the Lord. And then there's another one. There's another one that was sort of an acrobatic, an ex-ball player, Billy Sunday. And it said that he would rip off his coat and that he would use the pulpit for the home base. But souls were saved. Souls were saved. Where are the D.L. Moody's? Where are the Billy Sundays? Where are the Isaiahs of our day? We need the Isaiahs. We need the Jeremiahs. We need the Billy Sundays. We need the D.L. Moody's. We need the Finneys and the Whitfields. Where are they? Where are they? Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. We need to confess our sin. Of unclean lips. Preachers, while we criticize our counterparts, while we criticize our colleagues, there sets in this sin of unclean lips. Preacher friend and I visited a home Sunday afternoon. The man had not been in church in over 14 years. And I'd visited him several times. And last June he had a heart attack. And I went to see him and I prayed with his wife and I prayed for him. Prayed for his healing, and the Lord spared him. He had two heart attacks while he was in a hospital. Critical condition, not expected to live. But you know, when we pray expecting, God answers prayer. He said, "Whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you have them, and you shall receive them." A positive promise. A positive promise. We believed for his healing. I said, "All right, when the Lord healed you, you're going to be back in church." He said, "I'm going to do everything I can to get back in the Lord's house." And he's not been back since last June. And I visited him. It's hard to take a man The word from the Lord when it brings judgment. I went to him and I told him, I said, you didn't promise me. You promised the Lord that you would be in his house. And I'm fearful for your life. The Lord may take your healing away. And he began to talk about something else. And here comes the sin of unclean lips. The sin of unclean lips. He said, we had a preacher here on this church field. Now this was way back in the early 1900s. And he said, you know, he told us not to read all the way through the Bible. He said, don't read the Bible straight through because it is contradictory. Preacher, as far as I'm concerned, that's sin of unclean lips coming from a supposedly man of God. Now, I don't know how true that story is, but there are people today trying to tear God's word apart. I believe if we preach it like it is, things will happen. People will get saved. People will get full of the Holy Spirit. This is God's command. Walk in the Spirit. Be full of the Holy Ghost. This is God's command. But somehow or another we sort of shy away from this thing. And in many churches, the deacons are standing outside the door with drawn swords and won't let the Holy Spirit in. A person, a third person of the Trinity that we teach and we preach. And yet, we don't want him in. Lo, a word of cleansing. A word of cleansing. This is a call to the prodigal church in a prodigal world. The word of cleansing. God's church needs cleansing. God's prophets needs cleansing. While over our heads hangs the Damoclean sword of rejection, we preachers are fat. That's right. We preachers are fat and lazy and luxury loving. Now, when I point a finger that way, I've got three coming back here, so don't worry. Don't feel like you're getting a whale full this morning. This is just a shovel full. But we are luxury seeking and lacking in God's power to preach the word, lacking in vision for lost souls. I believe that if God would allow his prophet to look over the banister of hell and see the church perishing, see the prodigal church going down, see the prodigal preacher going down into hell with unclean lips, I believe there would be a difference in our preaching. I believe we would preach with fire instead of dressed up words. God's word is simple. God's word is simple. This church member came to the preacher and she says, Pastor, you know, You're preaching to the giraffes in the church. You're preaching to the giraffes in the church, and I'm just a little old donkey. So stop preaching over my head. Preacher, we need to get down. We need to get down where the people are. We need the vision. We need the passion for lost souls. We need to visit the hospitals and tell the patients about Jesus instead of laughing and carrying on a bunch of mess and telling them about the weather, telling them about the newspaper, the Watergate, and all of that stuff. They want to know Jesus. A word of cleansing. Moses was called by fire. Elijah called down fire. And Elisha made a fire. But John the Baptist proclaimed it. There's one that comes after me that I'm not worthy to stoop down and lace his shoe. But I baptize you with water unto repentance. But he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And we need that fire in the pulpit today. And instead of a bunch of hogwash, we need God's word from the pulpit. We need the unction in the pulpit. Say amen. Thank you. Amen. If you don't say it, I will. And this fire burns off the dross. Let me tell you something, friend. Until you and I get right with the Lord, until we get on our knees and confess our unclean lips, until our hearts are right with the Lord, let me tell you something. The people are not going to follow. Let me tell you something. Who do you think a dying man is going to call to his bedside when he's laying there dying? A man that smokes and drinks and parties with him on Saturday night? No. He's going to call on someone with the power of the Holy Ghost, with the power of prayer in his life. Dying man doesn't want a honky-tonk preacher at his bedside when he's dying. He wants a man. He wants a man of God. He wants the man of God. This fire burns off the dross of the unclean lips. And preacher, teacher, we need it. We need it. This fire burns off the promiscuity of God's prophets. The hotter the fire, the cleaner it burns. Prayer fire melts ice. And listen, friend, throughout this country, there are so many icicles sitting in the pew today. They need melting. And we can do it. Listen, we can do it. I said, we can do it. That was only two or three. Just got only two or three amens there. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. All right, what you say to that? Huh? I can go to a hospital bed. I can go and minister to the sick. I can lay hands on the sick and they'll get well. Just a few more. Say amen. I believe we need more red hot preaching. I believe we need more red hot preaching. Amen. And the other word is go. Is go. A word of commission. It's a roll call of the prophets. Go. Isaiah's commission. Where art thou? Moses is of God. Where art thou? Isaiah's of God. Where art thou? Elijah's of God. Where art thou? Peter's of God. Where art thou? Where art thou? Where do you stand? Where do you stand with God? Not where do you stand with me? Not where you stand with Dr. Blackmore? Not where you stand with Dr. Green or any of the professors? But where do you stand with Jesus Christ? Where do we stand? Listen, Peter went in the upper room, a conventional preacher. And Peter came out a jet-propelled prophet. What was the difference? The power of the Holy Ghost in his life. The fire. Peter preached with fire when he came from that upper room. Praise God. And thousands got saved and got baptized. So where are the people?